Well, amen. Well, it's fun to start service a little bit differently this morning, and so excited about that, and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today. If you're a guest, we'll say a special welcome to you. Thank you so much for being here today. Excited about just worshiping together, spending time in the Word together, and seeing what the Lord wants to do among us today. And so again, welcome. We'd love to connect with you. We can do that in one of a couple ways. Either there's a card in the pew back in front of you, or if you go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. You can click that button or take that card, fill that information out, and at the end of service, you'll be able to either leave that in the offering plate or in the pew there, or if you click the button and fill that out, we'll get an email of that and just want to celebrate and say thank you for being with us today. There are a few things I want to make you aware of today, a few things happening in the life and ministry of our church. First of all, just want to celebrate and say thank you, Lord. Tyler's able to be here this morning, had an accident last Sunday, and God was certainly gracious and kind. Certainly could have been much worse. And so be praying for him and his road to recovery and going through rehab and all sorts of things that are going on and facing with that. There's going to be an opportunity to minister to he and Kelsey, opportunity to give, and so be praying about that, and as we come alongside and just try to help and be a blessing to them. And so grateful that he is able to be with us this morning. Let me give you a few announcements of things that are coming up. This Wednesday at 11:30, there's a senior adult event happening here at the church. There'll be lunch at 11:30, and then following that, there'll be a hymn sing, an opportunity to come together and sing hymns, and so Matt will be leading that, and so I hope you'll make plans to come and be a part of that. Even if you're not a senior adult, I bet they'll let you in. So if you want to come, if you have availability to be a part of that, I know that they would love to have you. And then also I want to mention to you this morning, on the 29th is our annual Trunk or Treat event. And so a couple things need you to be aware of. First of all, thank you so much to those of you that brought candy. We're very grateful for that. If you're wondering if we still need more candy, the answer is yes. So thank you for what you brought. Very grateful for that. And as you have opportunity, if you can bring more, we estimate it usually takes about 30,000 pieces of candy for us in that event. And so anyway, just want to, if you can, bring candy for that. Also, be expecting a phone call or text, somebody asking, we're going to need help with people providing a vehicle where they can be a trunk and help give away candy. You won't necessarily need to bring candy to the event. Again, we're trying to collect all of that, but if you want to decorate your trunk and make that fun for the kids as they come through, we're going to need help with registration. We're going to try to do some spiritual surveys. We're planning to have block party or at least inflatables and those things set up. And so there's a lot that happens. And at the same time, we're going to have some folks serving in London, going on a mission trip there. And the ones that are going, they've been pivotal in helping us plan and take care of that. And so going to need a lot of our church to come together to help set up, help provide with distributing food and waters. And there's just plenty. There's something to do for everybody. And it's a really fun event. We have a lot of our community that comes out and comes part of that. So it's a chance for them to see us, see them, and interact with them. And so I hope that you'll plan to be a part of that. And don't hesitate. If nobody's reached out to you, reach out to us. Let us know, hey, I'm willing to be a part. I want to be a part. Plug in somewhere. We need everybody to help and jump on board. This is a really big event. We normally see between 500 and 600 people pass through, something like that. And so looking forward to that. And I mentioned it just a moment ago, and just in passing, but be praying for our team that is headed to London to help minister to missionary kids and their families. And so be praying as they get ready. It won't be long. They'll be leaving for that trip. And so this morning, I want to take a moment and just share with you Psalm 73. I read in my quiet time this morning, and the psalmist said this, "Is whom have I in heaven but you? There's none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is a strength and my portion, and my heart and my portion forever." And this morning, I just want to remind you that the Lord is our strength. That everything else may fail us, but the Lord never will. And we're going to sing this morning. We're going to worship together and celebrate and honor what God is doing and has done in our lives. And I've been praying, and God has been doing some incredible things among our church. A lot of baptisms, a lot of time spent on the altar praying, and I'm praying God will do something incredible this morning. And we want to do all that we can to make sure our heart is ready to receive what the Lord wants to do. So if you would, if you'd take a moment, let's bow together and go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe it's been a busy week for you. Maybe been a lot of things happening. I just want to encourage you to take those things to the Lord. Ask Him to help you focus on Him. Ask Him to help you to worship Him today and to hear from His Word. Just confess to Him that although your heart and your strength fails sometimes, that He is our strength. He is our portion. He never fails. God in heaven, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. God, thank You for time together today. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that we have an opportunity to sing to You, to worship You. Lord, I pray that all that we say and do this morning would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that God, You would continue to work among Your people. God, would You send revival? Would You do a great work? Lord, we lift up the nation of Israel today, God. I pray Your hand to be upon them. God, we pray for peace and strength. God, we ask You to do a work that only You can. Be with us now. May we worship You in spirit and in truth. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, would you stand with us? Hopefully that first song caused you to wake up as we sing, Your Love Awakens Me.
Raise a hallelujah. Thank you.
I want to share something with you, but before I do, I'm hesitant because I don't want it to sound mystical or sound some off the wall something, but I have a sermon prepared. I've studied. I'm ready to preach it. But there's a check and there's just a hindrance in my spirit that I can't preach it. And the reason is it seems to be that, man, there's a hindrance among us this morning. There's not a sense of freedom. There's not a sense of, and I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 17, and I'll encourage you to keep your Bible out and keep your Bible handy. We're going to jump around a few places this morning. I apologize, the verses probably won't be up on the screen because, again, I'm diverting from what I believe, what I had prepared. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning of verse 17. If you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's pray. God in heaven, my heart's desire is to be obedient to you. And God, if it's your will for me to get up here to stumble, falter, and fail, that you may be glorified, I pray that just that would happen. But God, I pray you would speak to us today. God, I pray you'd set us free from some things today. And Spirit of God, I pray that you would be here, that there would be liberty and freedom. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here's what we're going to do. It's going to be good and awkward because we're going to start with invitation. And the invitation is going to be silent because I can't play, right? And we're just going to deal with what the Lord wants to do. But here's the question. I'm just wondering this morning, are there any folks among us, and you don't have to answer out loud, it's between you and the Lord. Maybe you're, I get the sense that we have some folks that are under attack from the enemy. And let me just tell you this, I realize it's mystical to talk about this because we don't talk about it much. We talk about, man, the way we view God. He's love and kind and gracious, and he's all of those things. But sometimes we're not too mindful that we have a real enemy, and the enemy really does hate us. And Jesus said about the enemy, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And most of us in this room have probably surrendered our heart and life to Jesus. And you go, man, why would we be under attack if that is? Because the enemy still wants to take your joy. He still wants to rob you of peace. He still wants to hinder you. I'm just wondering this morning if the enemy has come against you, and sometimes we don't even realize it. You ever have those moments and those days, and maybe today is one of those days you wake up and you're just ticked off at the world and there's no reason why. Maybe you're just struggling with things. Maybe there's anger. Maybe there's bitterness that's in your heart. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe you're angry at God or angry at somebody else. Maybe you're angry at change, that the world isn't the way that it was 10 and 15 and 20 years ago. Maybe you're just feeling displaced and struggling. Maybe you're struggling. There's a level of sadness and a sense of being overwhelmed. And friend, I just want to say to you, Jesus hasn't saved us to embrace those things, but oftentimes it's the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm afraid we've got some folks among us that maybe the enemy has come alongside. He's tried to take some of that joy and that peace and the goodness of things that God wants to do in your life. And I realize this is a real moment of vulnerability. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with a time of invitation. I'm going to preach to you what I believe, how you can have freedom. And so the invitation is this. Here in just a minute, I'll ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And this is the invitation. If you're saying this morning, Pastor Chris, man, I don't know what's going on, but it may very well be that I'm under attack this morning and I want freedom. It may be saying, I've been in a season where I've been under attack. It may be some years or some decades. There's some bitterness and unforgiveness. There's some things going on in my heart and my life that I haven't experienced freedom like I know that God wants me to. I'm going to invite you to come get on this altar. If you can't kneel at the altar, come sit close. And here's what you're going to pray. You're going to beg God that He would speak to you today, that He'll give you freedom. I know. It's awkward and uncomfortable and quiet. But that's all right. The Bible says, be still and know that He is God. And we're going to pray that God would do some things among His church and among us today. Listen to me. Only that God can do. And you may be sitting here saying, Pastor Chris, I got no idea where you're going or why you're just totally. That's all right. Pray for your brothers and sisters that maybe need some freedom. It may be you want to come get on this altar and pray. You may know somebody even here this morning going, man, they need a touch from God. They need set free from some things. There may be some things in your life that are hindering you from experiencing all that God wants you to experience. Man, what if He wants to meet you right where you're at today and set you free from some things? So I'm going to ask if you would just bow your head and close your eyes. And the invitation is open now. If God's dealing with your heart, or you think, man, I need to come and pray. I need to come get on this altar. I need to ask God to speak to me today. Would you come? And don't wait on anybody else. Maybe you just want to come pray for your church. Maybe you want to pray for a church member. You're begging God to speak to you or to speak to somebody else today. You feel like, man, I'm under attack today. I've got some things I've not let go today. God in heaven. I don't know what you want to do today. But God, I pray that you, Spirit of God, would have freedom. Freedom among your church today. Spirit of God, I pray that you would convict where we need conviction. I pray you would set free where we need freedom. God, I pray you would break bondage where it needs breaking. God, I pray you would give us boldness where we need it. Spirit of God, I pray that you would speak to every person in this room, young and old. God, I pray that you would draw back the curtains of our soul this morning. And that you would shine your light on the deep, dark crevices that need to be revealed, that we may have forgiveness, we may have freedom. God, I pray you would do among your church what only you can. God, would you do it in such a way that you would be glorified? That we would leave this place knowing that you, Spirit of God, were here and you had freedom to work among your people. God, I pray this in the matchless, wonderful, mighty name of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And this morning, in this moment, all that we've done is we've asked God to till the ground of our heart. This morning, what we've done so far with this time of invitation, this time of response, is that we've asked that there may be fertile ground for God to do among us what He wants to do. That we realize this morning there's some struggling with all sorts of things among us, and we need freedom, and the freedom comes from the Lord Jesus. And so, James chapter 4, and I'm going to begin in verse 6. And I don't have an outline, I don't have a main idea or a key question. We're just going to sit down in the Word of God in a few places. And I'm just going to share about the overflow of some things that God has taught me along the way, in the hope and the prayer that we may experience some freedom today. And so James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, I love the book of James because James is so practical. James has so many things that, man, you can immediately go put into practice here and now. And that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. And so James chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he said, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Listen to me, dear friend. There's some things that God may want to do in your life, but if you don't have the inclination, if you don't have enough humility about you to acknowledge that you need something from the Lord today, then you can be sure that you'll miss it. The Bible says God resists the proud. And oftentimes we miss the activity of God because we don't think we need it. We think we're good enough. We've got enough in our account. We've got enough food in our belly. We've got enough of this or that, enough family around us. But dear friend, we need more God more today than we ever have. And so if you want God to do some things, you recognize, "Pastor, man, I don't have any joy. I don't have any peace. There's things that are empty and void in my life. I'm struggling with purpose. Man, I'm struggling with depression," all these sorts of things. Listen, if you aren't willing to acknowledge before a holy God that you're in need of Him, you can be sure that you'll miss Him today. And listen, as a church family, we better be confident and sure of this today, that as a church family, if we think we're anything or somebody, then we can be sure God's not within 100 miles of us gathering together. Because the Bible is clear, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so you may be here this morning saying, "Pastor Chris, you know, listen, I go through this. There's times, man, I wake up and I'm just angry. There's times where I'm frustrated. There's times I'm overwhelmed." And listen, I'll be honest with you. There's times right before I preach that there's some feelings and some things, thoughts, all sorts of things run through my mind right before I'm getting ready to do one of the most glorious things I think could be done, and that's the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And there's times where I'm struggling with that, and I have to be reminded that the enemy hates me, hates you, and he comes against us. And so how do we deal with that? How do we handle it this morning when you're overwhelmed, when you're struggling with pride and anger and all these sorts of things? Let me share with you, I think, a truth that'll help you. Look at verse 7. He says, "Therefore, submit to God." Where did he start? A prideful person won't submit to God. A prideful person says, I don't need God. But what he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, let me hit pause. Listen, I appreciate that our charismatic brothers and sisters oftentimes talk more about these spiritual things than we do as good old Southern Baptists. But where I think we have to be really careful is the Bible says this in 1 John. Listen carefully. It says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, here's what it does not say. It does not say, greater am I because he's in me. There's a distinction. Who's the power and authority lie in? It lies in God, not in me. So what we have to be careful of is, here's the deal. Jude says that Michael the archangel would not bring a railing accusation against him, but he said, the Lord rebuked you. We don't know a lot about angels, but we know Michael the archangel is a very strong, powerful angel, and he was not willing to bring a railing accusation, say one thing against the enemy, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. Why? Because the power and authority is in God, not in me. And so greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So here's what you need to know. If we have victory today, it's not because I've conjured up any power. It's not because I've conjured up any authority. It's because of the power and authority of God. And so he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God works in and through us. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so how do we apply this to our life? You may be sitting there going, Pastor, I'm dealing with anger. I'm dealing with bitterness. I'm dealing with unforgiveness, hatred, depression, all these sorts of things that seem to be attacks from the enemy. Now again, this is in the context of those who know Christ. So how do I deal with that? How do I handle that when I sense I'm under attack from the enemy? This is what I pray. This is how I approach that. Is I pray this verse, this scripture back to God. So in the quietness of my own heart, sometimes I'm standing there in just this overwhelming sense of being under attack. And so this is what I do. God, here I am. By your grace and your power, I need you more than I ever have. I'm trying to humble myself before the Lord and acknowledging I need him. And so then he says, submit to God. God, here I am, anew and afresh. Give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do, right? So submitting myself to God, anew and afresh, I'm yours. And then he says, resist the evil one, he'll flee from you. God, I pray anew and afresh. Man, I'm praying this in my mind, that you, by the power of your Spirit, would resist the evil one that's come against me, and that he would have to flee by the power and authority of who you are. And you know what? Man, oftentimes there's a sense of freedom that washes over me. And sometimes, man, it's immediate. And sometimes I just keep praying that time and time again. And you know what? Listen to me. Every single time I get freedom. Why? Because you're just being obedient to the Word of God. I know some of you look at me this morning, you're giving me side eye about being mystical. Listen to me, dear friend. This is the Word of God. He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Can we believe that this morning, church? That was pretty weak. Everybody okay? We're all right. Listen, it's the Word of God. We can believe it and trust it. Now listen to me. There's sometimes we experience those things, and he's dealing with, he goes on further. Look at verse 8. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Man, as I'm under attack, there's times I need to draw near to the Lord. How do I draw near to the Lord? Man, I need to get in his Word. I need to sing, God, you are holy, 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 and there is none like you. Man, there's times I need to draw near to him, get on my knees, get on my face before a holy God and say, God, here I am. He says, draw near to you. And you know what he says? He will draw near to you. Man, God's not trying to play hide and seek this morning. God's not trying to run from you. Man, he wants to have a saving, intimate relationship with you. But sometimes there's just some junk that gets in our life that creates a sense of separation where we've got to humble ourselves, draw back to him. He says, Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Listen to me. Some of y'all are struggling with some things because your hands are dirty. Because there's some things in your life going on that are sinful. And you need to confess them. Some of y'all, I feel like, and I haven't been close to the Lord in a while, it's because there's some pet sin going on in your life that you need to confess. Can I be honest with you this morning? God's been convicting me lately because I've been more critical lately than I should be. Man, I've been confessing. God, help me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. James is pretty strong about a double-minded man. Double-minded man is going, yeah, I trust God, but then I'm doing everything on my own. James says he's unstable. Anybody feel like that this morning? Just, man, one day you're doing great, next day you're really struggling, next day you're really struggling, the next day you're doing well. I just wonder this morning, is there anybody among us, man, struggle being double-minded? Yeah, you're kind of wanting to live for the Lord, but then you're kind of wanting to do your own thing. You're kind of trying to do things in a godly way, but then you're kind of wanting to do your own thing. The Bible says we're double-minded when we do that. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. You know what he's saying? We need conviction. We need to be broken. Man, when's the last time you were broken over your sin? When was the last time you wept over your sinfulness? Man, when was the last time you experienced that unbelievable conviction? And listen, I realize I get myself in trouble, but there's some real depression, there's some real mental illness and things that are going on in our nation, our world that need to be addressed with and dealt with. But there are some things that are part of it because it is conviction from the Spirit of God, and we're doing everything to run from it with the exception of confessing and bringing it before the Lord. Man, there's some things that God wants to do. And hear me when I say this. Man, there's some real mental illness, some real struggles that need professional counseling, need, man, professional and medical intervention. I'm not discounting that. But there are some things in our life that we're struggling and facing because we're not experiencing the conviction of God, recognizing for what it is and confessing it. But friend, we don't have to run from that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's nothing that you have done that God goes, man, I can't clean you from that. That sin's too big. I can't forgive you. He says, cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Say, man, experience the conviction of God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God wants to meet you right where you're at this morning. Man, I'll be honest with you, I see it on some of you. Some of you walked in, you're bitter, you're angry. There's no joy, there's no peace. And some of you will be tight-lipped and you'll just walk right out of here and you'll carry it out with you. But there's some of you, I pray every one of us, here in a few minutes we'll come get on this altar and beg God to do what only He can. And you can leave here today with a sense of joy and peace that God created you to have. Verse 11, do not speak evil of one another. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law. When James gets into how we ought to talk about and treat one another. Friends, we are responsible for what we say and how we say it. And how we talk about one another, how we treat one another. My hope and prayer. There's some things in our heart and our life that we need to let go of this morning. God is doing some things around our nation, around our community, like I've never seen before. At Second Baptist, we're going to miss it if we don't get in a place where God can use us. I'm not talking about music style. I'm not talking about preaching style. I'm just talking about spiritually. If we don't beg God to help us, set us free for some things, ask His forgiveness for some stuff. God is doing some things, particularly among a younger generation, that quite honestly is nearly unexplainable except for the Lord. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what God's doing. And more importantly, can you lean in and just look right here at me? I don't want to be the reason why we miss it. I want my heart to be clean. I want my hands to be clean. Hebrews says this, it says, pursue peace with all people, listen, without which no one will see the Lord. Without which no one will see the Lord. You know what that does? That puts a corporate level on our sin. What I mean, it goes from just my pet sin, just my pornography, just shacking up with my girl, just talking how I want to talk, just being angry and bitter, all those sorts of things. You know what it does? It takes it from being personal and private, nobody else knows about this, to go, man, nobody else may know, but it is hindering everybody else. He says, pursue peace with all people, without which no one will see the Lord. Excuse me. For some of us believers this morning, you limped in here. Maybe there's some sin in your life you need to confess. For some of you walked in here and just the enemy's been attacking you, attacking your marriage, attacking your spouse, attacking your kids. Here in a minute, you need to get on the altar. And pray over and over, God, here I am, submitting myself anew and afresh to you. And God, I pray that you would rebuke the enemy and restore my joy and peace. And friend, I'm telling you, every time God has answered that prayer, there are times where I just pray it over and over and over. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. There's freedom. And dear friend, I'm just telling you this morning, we didn't have a sense of freedom here this morning. And I pray that before we leave, we have that. Because God will work. God will move among His people. And then some of you are here this morning, and you've been struggling with that most of your life. You've been fighting through that, and there's been a lot of things going on. And you just say, man, I've never felt a sense of purpose. I've never felt a sense of being full. Nikki shared about that in her story. Just knowing and trusting the Lord and following Him. Hebrews 2:15 says this. It says it. I flipped one too far. It says in verse 14, he says, inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, talking about Jesus, likewise shared in the same, meaning he became a man. We've been looking at it in John 1. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. When Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, he took the sting away from death. He took the power that he had. Verse 15, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Did you know this? That the enemy can come and take captive a lost man? And that's why we see the radical, terrible, evil things all across the world, because the enemy comes and takes people captive. And apart from Christ, you have no defense. And so, friend, this is what I need you to be reminded of, is that some of you walk in and go, man, I've never felt that. I've never felt that level of joy, that level of peace, being like I've been under attack my whole life. And it may be because you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. Excuse me. So some of you walked in this morning because you've never been saved, struggling. And you need to be saved this morning. You need to surrender in your heart and life to Jesus. You say, I've never experienced that peace and that joy that you talk about, Pastor. I've never experienced that relationship of what you've talked about. Then, man, dear friend, give your life to Jesus today. Repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Him. It's the single greatest decision you'll ever make. And to be honest with you, some of you are under conviction and you're already trying to rationalize why you don't need to be saved. Man, I prayed a prayer, I walked an aisle, I did this, I did that, and all those sorts of things. Man, if you're not 1,000% convinced in your soul that you gave your heart and life to Jesus, surrendered everything to Him, some of you under conviction, get saved today. I preached a funeral yesterday of my aunt. And she wrote out very specifically 4 pages of how the service was to go. And one of the things she wrote is, don't sugarcoat anything, be blunt. And that's kind of the nature of my family. And so I stood before him yesterday and said, I've preached too many of these and I will probably preach too many more. And I said, I'm not sugarcoating, and I have to sugarcoat a lot of places or just put it a palatable way, especially at funerals. But I told him, said, this is what I said. I said, hell is hot and heaven is sweet, and you need to give your life to Jesus. And you can have a saving relationship with Him this morning. And so I realize this morning has been different. Some of you, maybe your guests this morning going, man, this is a little intense. But friend, some of you walked in this morning carrying some things, burdened down, struggling, that God doesn't want you to carry back out those doors. And you have the choice this morning as to whether you're going to experience the freedom that God has for you this morning. And how serious you are, if you're going to submit to Him and acknowledge that you need Him and you need the Lord to work and intervene in your life. And some of you get to make the choice whether you're going to confess some sin today. Confess it to the Lord and acknowledge, God, I've been struggling with this time and time again. I confess it. Some of you this morning need to be saved. Man, you're holding on to the pew with everything you've got. And dear friend, can I challenge you this morning? Man, it's not worth holding on. Surrender and give your life to Jesus today. Let's pray. God in heaven, I pray this morning that you would continue to work among His people, your people, God. I pray, God, you would help us to respond to you, that we would be obedient to you. God, would you send and give freedom? Spirit of God, work here today. If you're here this morning saying, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved this morning. I'm going to lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer. Words of a prayer have never saved anybody. You just need to confess your heart to the Lord, turn from your sin, and ask Him to save you and be the boss of your life. I don't care how young or old you are. Just, man, confess to the Lord. Ask Him to save you. You may pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer There's some of you this morning that we started earlier asking God to do a great work, asking God to set us free, asking God to do some things in our life. This time of invitation is for you. In a minute, whenever I pray, I'm going to invite you to come down. Some of you need to come and pray, God, I submit myself to you, and I ask that you, by the power of your Spirit, you make the evil one flee from me. Some of you need to confess. You've been holding on to anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and, man, just a critical spirit. Man, just some things going on in your life. You need to confess some habitual sin in your life you need to ask God's forgiveness for. And some of us need to beg that God would meet us right where we're at, that He would restore some joy and some peace in our lives. Some of you prayed just a minute ago for God to save you, or you know you need to be saved. When I say amen, I'm going to step down front. You need to come and walk up to me, say, Pastor Chris, I asked Jesus to save me today, or I need to talk about being saved. Man, you've been under conviction. You've been fighting it. Today is the day. Today's the day you surrender. Today's the day you give your heart and life to Jesus. When I pray and say amen, you begin to move. God in heaven, I pray right now that God, you would work among your people. God, I pray we wouldn't be stuck in the places where we're at just to holding on to, but God, we wouldn't miss this moment. You would set some folks free this morning. You would give us liberty. Help us to confess things in our life. I pray for those that just prayed or need to be saved, that you would give them boldness to come. Lord Jesus, I pray you, Spirit of God, would be in this room, that there may be liberty and there may be freedom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You come. As God has dealt with your heart, come now.
On your faithfulness, on your faith. providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You move with power then. God, move with power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a
the Lord spoke to your heart, ministered to you today, say amen. Amen. The Lord is good, and He wants to do abundantly above all that we could ask, imagine, or hope for. Man, He's come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. And God wants to continue to work and to move in your life. Man, if God's doing something in your heart and you want somebody to pray with you or just whatever the case may be, always know you can visit me, Pastor Jonathan. There's others in our church family that want to be a source of encouragement and blessing to you. Let me encourage you in this. Go out and be a friend, be a gospel witness in our community. Invite others to come and be a part. Hey, we've got the invite cards in there at the back. Take some of those, invite people this week. Tell others how sweet it is to be saved and know Him. Man, if you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus recently, man, hey, come share that with me. Write it on one of those cards and leave it in the offering plate or in the pew, whatever it is. Message one of us. Share. Maybe you need to be baptized. You've been saved, but the next step is baptism. You need to do that. Let's talk about that. All right? Hey, as we leave today, I'm going to ask our men to take their place. We're going to take up offering as we leave. And this is our tithes. This is our regular giving. And so I want to encourage you, take that step of obedience if you haven't been, and be faithful to tithe and give unto the Lord what He's first given us. God uses it for His kingdom and for His glory. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will be dismissed. Jesus, You're good, and there's none like You. Thank You, God, that as You healed before, You heal now. God, thank You for how You set folks free before, You do that today. We thank You for the work that You've done today. Thank You that You're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God, go before us. Help us to be a witness for You. I pray that as we leave today, we would give in a way that brings honor and glory to Your name. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. Love you. Have a great week.